so we can start.
All right, this is the December 6, 2023 meeting of the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission. Roll call, Jenny West, present. Jason King, absent. Tim Lupin, present. Ross Carson, present. Annie Clark, present. Lee Bressler, present. Greg Hackenberg, present. Jennifer Green, present. Shawanda Corre, absent. Ann Red, absent. We have 7 members constituting a quorum.
Thank you. Welcome everyone, last meeting of the year. We are in a different location as usual, so we'll try to keep this orderly. And I believe applicants are sitting outside, but Mackenzie is guiding them in as the applications come up. So again, just try to stick to rules even though we're outside of typical location. All right, everyone, so item 2, meeting minutes of...
I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting.
Okay, November 1st, excellent. Motion, second. All those in favor? All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Who seconded the motion?
I did.
Annie Clark.
I'm sorry, what?
Commissioner Clark.
Okay. If you could repeat who made the first and the second, that would be helpful.
The first was Commissioner Bressler, seconded by Commissioner Clark.
Great, thank
you.
All
in favor. Item 3, review and approval of the draft meeting dates and deadlines for 2024.
I don't think they're uploaded. I sent them along to the commissioners. Sorry, they were a little late. We are waiting for this city council to respond to our request for the commission, for the council chamber, for the hearings next year. So these are a tentative schedule before you, and we will keep you posted. Dates or times or locations are subject to change.
Thank you. Can we go ahead and make a motion to accept these?
Yes.
Move to accept the dates pending any further information from the city council.
Wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Lupin. Seconded by
Second.
Commissioner Green. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 4, landmark nomination of 1401 Arado Street.
1401 Arado Street is in the Lower Garden District, local and national registered historic district. It is located on Lot A of Municipal Square 186 in Municipal District 1. The building faces Coliseum Street, is backed by Britannia Street, and is bound by Arado and Clio Streets. The building first appears in the 1883 Robinson Atlas. As per the FEMA Historic District Survey of the neighborhood, the building was constructed in 1848. This is verified by primary source documentation. A building contract notarized by Daniel I. Ricardo on June 20, 1848 confirmed that the building was designed by T.E. Giroux and built by T.J. Sayre at the cost of $30,000. The Historic District Landmarks Commission evaluates the significance of the structure based on the 4 criteria as established by Section 84.22 of the City Code, any one of which can make a building eligible for nomination. As this building was nominated by the church itself, who is listed as the owner as per the assessor, the staff recommends that it be nominated for study as a landmark.
Wonderful. Is there any public comment on this nomination? No public comment?
Right. Is it an operational church?
Yes.
But we need 2 motions?
We need a motion and 2 seconds
motion
to place it under the landmark nomination.
Would anyone like to make a motion to study this application?
I'll make a motion to study the application.
Thank you, Commissioner Bressler, seconded by
Second.
Commissioner Hackenberg and Commissioner Green. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, landmark designation of 4506 Canal Street.
This is a very long report. This is the designation report, so I will just hit the high points. 4506 Canal Street is a significant rated structure in the Mid-City National Register Historic District, located on lots 15, 16, 17, and 18 of Square 818 in Municipal District 1. The building faces Canal Street, is backed by Cleveland Avenue, and is bound by South Murat Street and South Olympia Street. The building first appears in the 1940 Sanborn Fire Insurance Map. As per the 2007 FEMA Historic District Survey of the neighborhood, the building was constructed in 1914. A construction date of 1914 and 1915 is validated by primary source documentation. The Daily States newspaper announced on April 22, 1916, that Captain William J. Kane and Mrs. Mary Kane will shortly occupy their handsome new home at 4506 Canal Street. The house was reported to have cost $75,000 to build and was designed by H. Jordan McKenzie and built by Kane's own company, the Kane Kelly Contracting Company. In 1946, the house earned its nickname, the Christmas House. Mrs. Santani started out with a routine decoration job and wound up with a miniature Dutch home, complete with windmill and Santa Claus and her sleigh on her lawn. As early as the first year, the house was reported to draw between 3,000 to 5,000 visitors nightly, and the Santanis invited children into their home, where they distributed between 400 and 500 toys. The New Orleans Item newspaper reported in 1951 that the display was a lavish lawn full of lights. In 1953, the New Orleans States newspaper exclaimed, "You would need a computer or an abacus to compute the number of lights strung up on all four sides of the home, in and about the elaborate hedges, shrubbery, and all over the tall, beautiful trees that form a backdrop."
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Every year we fall in love all over again with the big red snowed-over bell hanging by the front door and life-size Santa perched on the chimney. This year the Santanis have added Santa Claus's workshop with child-sized elves sawing wood, hitting hammers, etc., and precision movements to the music of Christmas carols. And as usual, there is a crush, a tiny lighted church, animated reindeers, and other things that leave adults even more than children with their jaws hanging open. The Christmas house remains a beloved, if long gone, New Orleans institution. Christmas time meant that your parents took you to view the fabulous decorations at the Santani House. Al Copeland, founder of Popeye's Chicken and famed for his own Christmas lights display from 1983 to 2008, claimed that he was influenced by the display on Canal Street. Copeland said that as a child, he was awed each Christmas by a spectacular display at 4506 Canal Street, home of Salvador Santani. Copeland even had a replica of the house in his Christmas display, and he sent a giant lit Christmas wreath to Salvador Santani's funeral with a card that read, "To the real King of Christmas." The Santani family donated pieces of their collection to the Friends of City Park for use in their Celebration in the Oaks display in 1985, and in 2001, artist Brian J. Bush was commissioned by City Park to restore the camel, lamb, and other stuffed animals that once appeared on the Santani's lawn. The replicas were showcased as part of their nativity scene. There remains a good deal of nostalgia for the Christmas house, even today. The house has popped up in New Orleans pop culture throughout the 1980s and 90s, and appeared as a setting in the 2002 play, When You're Smiling. Statement of significance. The Historic District Landmarks Commission evaluates the significance of a structure based on four criteria as established by Section 84.22 of the City Code, any one of which can make a building eligible for nomination. The staff finds that 4506 Canal Street overwhelmingly meets the criteria for architectural significance, which is defined as any building that embodies distinguishing characteristics of an architectural type or specimen, inherently valuable for a study of period, style, method of construction, or indigenous materials or craftsmanship. The building also meets the criteria for being the notable work of a master builder, designer, or architect whose individual ability has been recognized. Lastly, the building holds a place in the city as a cultural landmark from its time as a Christmas house. Based on the merits outlined above, the staff recommends the designation of 4506 Canal Street as a city landmark.
I'm 83 years old, and I lived in that house from age 4 to got married at 23 years old. But it was just a house to us, more or less. We loved it, and my parents just enjoyed decorating it for Christmas. And whenever I mentioned my name somewhere, the first thing is said, "Oh, the house on Canal Street with all the lights." So it pretty much, you know, went synonymous with us, you know, and we know that we're close because Sultan's our doctor. And but anyway, we just came to, I can answer any questions you might want to know about the early years there or whatever.
No, this is great. I think the staff report was very thorough and really excited about this nomination for designation. So thank you for being here.
The Santani's owned it for 59 years. And now we're thrilled that another family gets the locals.
But we kept our, in other words, there was never no additions to it. Everything you see in that house today is like I grew up in the house. It's just a beautiful home, and it's one of the finest homes probably. You know, you talk about St. Charles Avenue, but Canal Street has some beautiful homes too, and I think that's one of them.
Thank you for being here. Do we have any additional public comment on this designation? There's no additional public comment. Commissioners?
I'd like to make a nomination. So this is in my neighborhood, and I am lucky to pass it all the time, and I think it's unusual for us to have a house, that a building that has both architectural significance, the significance of a master builder, and then cultural, being a cultural landmark as well. So it's really, I think, an honor for this commission to be able to provide this designation to this house. So I would like to make a motion.
First, second.
Wonderful. Commissioner Bressler seconds. Commissioner Green as well. All those in favor? All those opposed? Congratulations. Thank you so much. All right, moving forward to the consent agenda. Item A is 3643 Camp Street. Item B, 200 Pelican Avenue. Item C, 2917 Burgundy Street. Item D, 831 Olive Street. Item E is 1412 South Carrollton Avenue. Item F is 2417 Rousseau Street. Item G is 2421 Rousseau Street. Item H, 719-21 Mandeville Street. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? No public comment. All the, do we have the commissioner? Anyone want to make a motion?
No.
Thank you.
Oh, did they have anybody out there?
No. No public comment. Commissioner Hackenberg makes a motion to approve the consent agenda. Do you have a second? Commissioner Lupin seconds. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on, new business work applications. Item A, Armwart exterior trim. Is the applicant present? Hi. Please state your name and address for the record.
Shane Finley, 7328. Ahi Court, Diamond Head, Mississippi.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation with their comments following.
This is a review of Armorite brand composite building trim products for consideration of staff level approval at new construction projects. This was reviewed at the last ARC meeting, and ARC recommended conceptual approval of the use of this product at exterior trim locations where composite trim is already approvable. Including new construction and new additions, but excluding like column trim, fascia, things like that. Based on similar composite trim products being previously reviewed, staff agrees with the ARC recommendation.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Do not.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no public comment, the staff report is recommending approval for new construction projects. Is there a commissioner who wants to make this isn't in anyone's district. Thank you. Is there a second to that? Commissioner Lupin? All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you all for your time.
Item 2632 Laparose Street.
The applicant contacted me right before the meeting requesting a deferral.
Okay.
But they'd be, sounded like they'd be ready for the next month.
Sounds good. This is in Esplanade Ridge. We don't have a commissioner for Esplanade Ridge deferral. Thank you.
I'll second.
Commissioner Redd made the motion. Commissioner Green seconded.
Red and Green.
Yes, got it. Well played. All those in favor? All those opposed, the motion carries unanimously.
I'll do that again.
Love it. All right, keep it going. Item C, 500 Piney Street. Is the applicant present? This one is Bywater.
There's the one for Gould Street.
Hello, welcome. 500 Piney?
Yes.
Thank you for attending. Please state your name and address for the record.
Jason Wayland, 4669 Bassett Street.
Thank you.
Stephen Ringland, 43 Neron Place.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear comments following.
This is an application for the new construction of a six-story mixed-use building on acre lot and the massing and design changes to a previously approved five-story mixed-use commercial building on the same lot in full control of Bywater. I'm going to go through briefly like the history of how it proceeded through ARC and how we got to this point. And then the other paragraph is sort of different now because additional material was submitted this morning. So I will sort of bring you all up to speed on that once I'm finished with this. The proposed six-story hotel at 500 Piety Street is situated adjacent to the Rusty Rainbow Bridge on the riverside of Charter Street overlooking Crescent Park. First reviewed by the HCLC ARC in 2019, the building siding, massing, and overall design have developed through several different iterations. As reflected in the ARC's comments and previously proposed drawings, the project has experienced maturation throughout this process. And although the design reviewed in March 2022 received ARC recommended approval, massing alterations at the rooftop, effectively creating a six-story, required additional review ARC comment. Review of these changes began in July of this year and have continued throughout the latter months of 2023. Throughout that time, the focus remained on the massing of the fifth and sixth floors, as well as the three-story frame, steel frame at the eastern and western entrances. At the September 19th, 2023 meeting, the ARC agreed that the easterly facing entry frame should be reduced to two stories, but that the westerly facing frame at that entry could remain at the proposed height, which is three stories. At the October 17th, 2023 meeting, the committee agreed that the reduction in height and massing at the fifth and sixth floor were successful. However, a standing recommendation that the proposed steel frame at the eastern elevation be reduced to two stories in height could not be agreed upon. At that October meeting, 500 Piety ended with a no action vote after the ARC could not come to a consensus on the inclusion of the three-story frame minimum entry, and that vote was two yeas to one nay. So the end part of this recommendation is a little bit different because the main two things that were being looked at were the steel frames and the height compared to the adjacent Rusty Rainbow, which was a standing ARC recommendation that they couldn't come to the consensus on. But the plans that were submitted this morning actually have reduced that height from three stories to two stories, and you can see that in the drawings under the current drawings header. So staff doesn't really have a recommendation. I was going to leave it at the discretion of the commission. In this case, the two things that the ARC were asking have been changed, but that was just a sort of last minute update. So.
Yes,
first, good afternoon. We've been working for a number of years to get to this point, so we appreciate your time. This project received, as mentioned, conditional approval in 2022, and we did make some minor revisions that required going back before the ARC. Went before the Architectural Review Committee a number of times this year, including four or five times in the last 6 or 7 months, and worked with the committee and staff to remedy issues that they had. As mentioned, that last meeting did result in a 2-to-1 vote, and that one no vote was tied to the entries, which we have since remedied. So considering the previous approval in 2022 and also the fact that we have made the changes that were previously requested, we're asking for a motion for approval today.
Any additional comments? Is there any additional public comment on this application? I'm assuming not, since I don't have a card. But commissioners, this one obviously has a long case history and has been in front of ARC, as the staff and the applicant have noted multiple times. The two items we're reviewing today are the entry as well as the height, the reduction in the height as well. So, this is in Bywater, Commissioner Carson.
Yeah, thank you for being here today. I'm relatively new on this commission, so I understand there's a lot of history to this project. I see the current drawings that have reduced the height, so based on the ARC's feedback, it sounds like that meets what they were asking for. I do tend to agree, as a designer as well, that the number of massing moves on this building, I suppose driven by zoning and other criteria, has created quite a lot of complexity to the form. Now, I think it's a question of aesthetics as to whether or not that complexity is speaks, I suppose, to the liveliness of the use of the building, or if it detracts from some of the simplicity we see in some of the industrial buildings that you guys are referencing as precedent. But I do think the reduction of these entries helps to simplify the number of massing moves, in the sense that it helps it blend in with the ground level steel framework that is framing all of the ground level porch conditions. So I applaud that move. I think, I don't know if the ARC weighed in on the specific question of cladding change at these entry locations, because I see as the entry is now reduced to one story effectively, you did keep the cladding as the metal panel, I presume, at those locations.
That center panel.
Not only that, but at the entry location, the cladding is still shown as a three-story bit of cladding. Mm-hmm. Did you give any thought to, did the ARC provide any feedback on that? And did you give any thought to also returning potentially the brick at that spot?
So the issue around that structure was really around art that's going to be incorporated into the exterior. As a part, I believe it's actually a part of the conditional use, but one commitment that the owner has made is to include some public art into the facade and into the building. So that is kind of a placeholder for something that we're not sure what it is. We're not intending for it to be a mural or anything like that. It's most likely gonna be something structural or sculptural is what we've discussed. So we did discuss that component with the ARC, and that was kind of where the conversation went, was, you know, we were including a structure for something that we didn't know what it was yet. So, you know, why hold on to that structure when we can figure out what the art component is later? But that element above the entry on both sides is still intended to have some art component to it.
I guess to that end, if it's a sculptural element, what is the significance of changing the cladding material to accommodate that sculptural element? Like, I can understand if you're painting the building, you might want something smoother than brick, presumably, right, to paint onto. Yeah. But if it's sculptural, is there any significance to changing it?
We're not sure what it is yet. It could be sculpture, it could be lighting, or a combination of the two. It could be, but I do think setting that area aside from the brick so that it doesn't just, you know, blend in, it does call out that area for a space that is different. Yeah.
With the art yet to be determined.
Yeah.
It's our understanding that the artwork is not a part of this review. And so our point is a placeholder. And that's kind of what we talked to the ARC about, was that this is a placeholder for some piece of art that's yet to be determined.
I guess one question maybe for staff then is, are the cladding, where the cladding occurs and what material part of the conceptual approval, or is that something that can be refined at staff level?
I think it's something that can be refined at the staff level. If my recollection is that the ARC was more concerned with the massing of that framework and did not comment as much about that material and that surface.
They were...
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, their concern was that the three-story element might compete with the Rusty Rainbow, the massing of the Rusty Rainbow. So we didn't really get into a discussion about materiality or...
But if there are concerns that the commission has that, you know, could be still handled at the staff level, modifications in that material, I think that's something that could be considered as part of the motion.
So it might be important for me to also outline to you that art... The idea of artwork is an important component of the entire project. In fact, it's a hotel project, but every hotel has artwork in the rooms, it has artwork in the lobbies, it has, you know. So the commitment from the developer is that the artwork will actually be community artwork, right? And so artists in the community throughout New Orleans, but especially in the Bywater and Marin community, will be included in that artwork. And right now, no guarantees, but the concept is that that artwork could be maybe on consignment. So essentially, the entire building becomes an art gallery for local artists to sell their work. Obviously, the piece that's at the entrance won't be for sale, but so it will be a commissioned work. That's why we can't say at this point exactly what it will be. But that's the concept for the building, is to use the building and the idea of building this hotel as an opportunity to support local artists and engage artwork in the building.
Thank you for your comments. I think my other comments to Commissioner Parsons is that it's both the materiality, so it was a solid metal panel with a three-story awning, and now it appears that it's lowered, but there's also four windows that have been added that are also not matching the adjacent windows in terms of proportion, which I think is a little unusual, again, just given the amount of moves on this project with the massing and materiality. I think that's something that should be considered in terms of revision. Just to have, again, that is clearly a new item that was added this morning. Was provided. There's an additional, just normal windows at each one of those locations. And they are smaller than the adjacent openings.
The windows were at one point recommended to be different from the surrounding area that was in the brick.
I just wonder if all of this is necessary, given, again, this building is highly visible from all sides. It does have a really, a landmark piece to the neighborhood that is adjacent to it that is sculptural in and of itself. So it's wonderful that the developer wants to respond to that. I think it was a good move, and appreciate the move to make the change that ARC requested to lower that. But I do share Commissioner Carson's comments that potentially we could simplify that upper portion as well.
Yeah, and I think, sympathy about the feedback you've gotten to date, but that feedback was in the context of that frame extending up and over those windows, versus, so by dropping it, now it's a little bit different equation. So I think that's the main point I want to make, is that you've got a lot of forms going on, and as the ARC has essentially kicked a few architectural topics to this commission to consider, we're playing a little bit of a mini ARC here and giving feedback on these topics, but I definitely think if we're focusing on the specific question of does the reduction of that frame on the bridge side help, I think it does. I appreciate that.
I think it's also just the style of the awning is different than what was originally proposed in terms of its tieback to the building, so just if staff can review that further. It was simplified, but also sort of a lot of extra added prior to reviewing today.
I guess I would make a motion to approve the proposal for the reduction of steel framed entry on the east side to one story as shown, as well as the west side, and to approve the fifth and sixth stories as recommended by the ARC, with caveats or the points that further consideration should be given by the staff at the detail level to the specific cladding selections at these entry locations and window sizes.
And can you add awning style?
And the awning style. You work out the staff level.
Thank you. Commissioner Carson made the motion. Is there a second to that motion? Thank you, Commissioner Rubin. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Item D, 1914 Esplanade Avenue. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Hello.
1914 Esplanade Avenue.
So I'm Daniel Samuels, architect.
Thank you. Can you state your address for the record?
1450 Moss Street.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
This is an application for the renovation of enclosed porches at a left side and rear elevations, including the removal of existing wood siding and installation of party plank at a significant rated two-story single-family residential building in full control at Esplanade Ridge. Constructed in 1882, Tite residence at 1914 Esplanade was the last design and project executed by New Orleans architect Henry Howard. As seen below in the original floor plans and elevations, the building included a large attached wing for auxiliary purposes. This area of the building is most visible from Bayou Road at the rear of the property. The applicant has proposed removing existing wood siding at the rear elevation of the wing facing Bayou Road and installing party plank smooth siding. Per the HDLC guidelines, replacing exterior wood siding with fiber cement smooth finish siding at a significant rated building requires the review and approval of the commission. Additional work to the currently enclosed side and rear balconies will return to the commission following ARC review. The applicant is requesting the installation of party plank siding at the elevation due to areas of existing rot and damage, as well as the fact that the area receives direct sunlight and weathering. The drawing below indicates that all existing wood trim at this elevation, including fascia and corner boards, will remain as wood and will be repaired as necessary. Wood siding at the other elevations of the attached wing will remain. Because this wall is a tertiary elevation and only visible from Bayou Road, staff has no objection to the removal of the wood siding and installation of hardy siding, with the proviso that the hardy plank be smooth finished and match the exposure of the existing wood siding.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Thank you. It's the sheet that was just up there is really the only issue that we're here today about. This is the rear facing wall of the service wing that faces Bayou Road. The window will be removed and the wood siding will be salvaged, harvested to be used for patching and repairing conditions around the rest of the building. There's a significant structural damage in the framing of that rear wall, and the contractor is one way or another we need to take the siding down substantially, but we would like to go back with the fiber cement just on that wall only.
Is there any public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no public comment, staff or commission, this is in Esplanade full control. Staff report is no objection.
We have somebody come in. Well, the staff had a pretty good recommendation with the caveats that it be smooth surface and the other items there. So I'd like to recommend that we approve it based on staff recommendation and we say a great project.
Thank you, Commissioner Bressler. Seconded by Commissioner Clark. All those in favor? All those opposed, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project.
Great, thanks. A little simpler than your previous project.
Item E, 2425-27 Charter Street. Is the applicant present?
Charter Street.
Okay, have a
wonderful
seat.
Welcome. Hi.
Please take a seat. Say your name and address for the record.
I'm Jean Pertanzo. It's 2425 Charters.
Thank you.
Jane P. Sean, same address.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
This is a request to remove existing slate roof for replacement with new asphalt fiberglass roof shingles at a contributing rated one-story two-family residential building in full control Marigny. This work is being applied for because the current condition of the slate roof is deteriorating, which is causing increased incidences of moisture and water intrusion at the interior. The applicant has investigated repairing and replacing the roof with new true slate and found the cost to be prohibitive. An exterior inspection at the roof was conducted by staff on November 30th and determined the slate to be in fair to poor condition from the public right-of-way. Overall, the current roof does appear to be deteriorated and a majority of the slate tiles appear to show evidence of chipping, delamination, and scaling. Some slate tiles are visibly loose or missing, and there appears to have been some inappropriate and ad hoc repairs and large amounts of algae growth, particularly at the rear non-visible roof slope. It's also possible that the current slate roof is original or historic to the building and may simply be at the end of its intended lifespan. Based on the current condition of the roof and the associated cost for repairing with new slate, replacement with asphalt shingles is likely an appropriate option in this case. Additionally, because the proposed new asphalt roof shingles will mimic the appearance of slate and allow for the existing ridge tiles to remain, staff has no objection to the request.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
I don't have any questions, no.
Great. Thank you for working with the staff. This is, the staff report is saying no objection to replacement of asphalt shingles for the slate. This is in Marini, which is my district. I cannot make a motion on this application.
Oh.
I'll make a motion to approve this application.
Okay. Thank you. I also need to call, is there any public comment real quick? Is there any public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no public comment, thank you, Commissioner Clark. Is there a second? Commissioner Carson? All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, and good luck with your project.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to send a letter.
You're going to send it?
We'll issue a CNA letter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Demolition application. Item A, 1674-76 Jefferson Avenue. Is the applicant present?
Thank you.
This is an uptown. Moving out there. Welcome. Please take a seat and state your name and address for the record.
Rebecca Dunn, 8903 Jefferson Highway.
Joey Flynn, 8903 Jefferson Highway.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
This is an application for the demolition of more than 50% of the primary facade and architectural elements at a contributing rated two-story building. At the last commission meeting, this item was deferred for the applicant to work with staff. So this was edited actually this morning. I know you all reviewed this before, but a new set of drawings was added. So the recommendation and the final paragraph has changed. So the addition of the Ionic and Corinthian columns, as well as the addition of the entablature, are not indicative of the historic context of the building. Since the last meeting, staff has worked with the applicant to discuss a path forward. It was noted that the primary facade had already been altered predominantly on the right side. The path agreed upon was to move forward with an addition of a more appropriate Greek Revival detailing at the primary elevation in order to align with the entablature and column additions. Staff has no objection with proviso that the first floor windows not have the transoms and the windows are true slip-head windows that meet the floor of the porch. And that's it.
So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission? Yeah. No. Sorry. Well, this project has come a long way since you originally submitted and requested deferral, so we really appreciate you working with the staff to reach this. So the staff's recommendation is no objection with the proviso that the first floor does not have transoms and that they are true slip head windows in place. This is in the Uptown Partial District. Commissioner
Lupin? We approve based upon the staff's recommendations and the proviso's
list. Wonderful. I'm sorry, I did not call for public comment without an audience here. Is there any public comment on this application? There is no public comment. Commissioner Lupin?
I will restate my
thank you.
My motion to approve based upon staff's recommendations along with the proviso's that are listed.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner Green, second. All those in favor?
Red. Or red.
Red.
Oh, sorry, red. I'm sorry. Green, red. Red. I'm so irritated.
Oh, Christmas.
He knows.
I looked up and I was like, I did.
Oh, sorry. I look over and I'm like, green and red. Is this going to happen?
She knew what you were thinking.
All right. Commissioner Red, seconds. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Thank you again for working with the staff. Moving forward, new business demolition applications. Item A, 2931 St. Anne Street. Has this been
removed?
Removed from the agenda?
Yeah.
Given it is not showing on the agenda that we have in front of us as such, should we make a motion to remove it? Or can the staff can just state that it's removed from the agenda?
It's on, yeah, on, it's the, on our
okay,
iPad.
Got it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great. Moving forward, item B, 8226 Green Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes. Hi.
I think this is going to throw you for a whole
It's going to be, this is it. But I really am looking for a red-green potential here. So, welcome.
Hi, Kelly Johnson, 4618 Camp Street.
Thank you.
All right.
The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear comments following.
This is an application for the demolition of more than 50% of the roof at a contributing rated single-story building. FEMA survey research estimates 8226 Green Street was constructed from 1885 to 1895. However, the building is not shown on the 1896 fire insurance maps. The building first appears on the 1909 fire insurance maps as a rectangular single shotgun. By 1951, the building received a small addition to the side of the rear of the house. The addition appears to have been further expanded in the latter part of the 20th century and utilized the existing right side roof slope, as evidenced by the image shown below from pictometry. 8226 retains its original massing, center front entry, and roof line. The proposed side addition is just proud of two rooms back, which is an approvable condition in full control districts. The proposed addition demolition is 71.7%. Staff worked with the applicant to reduce the width of the addition to be roughly half the size of the width of the current single shotgun and retain the front entry sequence. Even though the roof demolition is over 50%, HDLC staff considers the one-story addition to be a more sympathetic addition than a camelback at the single shotgun building. For the aforementioned reasons, staff recommends approval of the demolition of more than 50% of the roof structure.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
I think he covered it.
Great. This is in Carrollton.
Is there any public comment?
Oh, is there any public comment on this application? Thank you. Seeing as there's no public comment,
I'd like to make a motion to approve it based on staff recommendation.
Thank you. We have a second.
I'll second it.
Commissioner Green, perfect. Green Street. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with the project.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item C, 4518 Coliseum Street was removed from the agenda. Item D, 5514-16 Chapakula Street. Is the applicant present?
Yeah,
hello, please have a seat and state your name and address for the record.
I'm just here for comment. Are you asking for the applicant?
Yes. Okay. Are you the comment cards that are? Thank you.
Doug Conkey, 8518 Oak Street.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments follow.
Sounds good.
So before I start, this is one of three and these properties are all next to each other, so I'm going to start with this one. This is an application for the demolition of a contributing rated one-story two-family residential building. The historic architectural significance, this building is considered contributing. FEMA survey research indicates the double shotgun at 5514 Chapatulas was constructed between 1885 and 1895, and the building first appears on the 1896 fire insurance map. 5514 Chapatulas is one of three remaining shotgun doubles that remain on the riverside of Chapatulas. The building provides a residential screen to the otherwise industrialized portion of the block and complements the historic residential fabric on the lakeside of Chapatulas. The alternatives for demolition is the current expansion of the car wash and detailing station is what's going back. While reproduction might not be cost prohibitive, recreation of historic details such as wood windows, massing and decorative elements would be difficult and unlikely. Any new construction of a car wash service buildings built in place of 5514 Chapatulas would likely not share this building's same massing, roofline, and character, which could alter the streetscape considerably. So staff recommendations. And the vacant one-story residential building rests on a masonry pier foundation. The exterior wall structure consists of barge boards nailed to heavy timber sills and is covered in wood weatherboards nailed directly to barge boards. The main portion of the roof is a single gable with small hipped gable at the front of the building. A small shed roof covers the addition at the rear of the building. The exterior wood weatherboards appear to be in good condition, with some missing predominantly at the rear of the building. Where the weatherboards were missing, the material was saturated with moisture. Presumably, this was caused by missing gutters at side elevations. Wood windows were present and seemed to be in good condition, with some requiring replacement. The asphalt roof shingles were in poor condition and required replacement. The small shed roof at the rear of the building is in very poor condition and would require reframing. The barge board studs showed some damage from wood-destroying insects, predominantly where they met the sills. This is likely caused from missing weatherboards, gutters, and poor condition of the fascia at the side elevations. The overall wall framing could not be inspected in detail because of the finishing materials on the interior. However, the walls were plumb and straight, suggesting that much of the framing is in good condition. In some locations, the joists run parallel to the exterior bearing walls and rest on a central beam, which is an atypical condition. Debris prevented a more detailed inspection of the crawl space. The interior spaces were mostly dry. Paint was separating from the drywall where the roof was leaking into attic spaces. The flooring appeared to be in fair condition. Most of the wood flooring was covered in laminate or painted. All of the interior trim and wood flooring seemed salvageable. As previously noted, at the rear shed addition is in very poor condition and in comparison to the main building. Staff recommendation. The building retains many of its original architectural features, and there is no indication that the building is beyond repair. The purpose of the HDLC is to preserve the architectural integrity and heritage of New Orleans. With that responsibility, the HDLC has a dual responsibility to preserve housing stock. It has been noted by many government officials and the New Orleans City Council that the city of New Orleans has a housing shortage. It is utterly inappropriate at this time to be a city of yes. For the aforementioned reason, staff recommends denial of the demolition to grade.
Thank you for the report.
Do you want to go through all three or?
We're going to do them individually. We have to do them.
Okay.
So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Yeah. I admit that it is possible to repair this house. Economically, it is nowhere near feasible. I've spoken to one of the owners of Rev Realtors. I've got unrenovated sales through up and down the quarter of Chapultepec, South Front, that area, looking for unrenovated doubles. The values come in between $175 and $225 a foot. She also gave me sales of renovated doubles in that same area, and they technically are in the $300 square foot range. The renovation cost estimate for this house and all three houses are in excess of $250 a square foot. It is possible to fix these houses up. It is not economically feasible. There would be no purchaser for it, and there'd be no renter for it. It's surrounded on three sides by the car wash. It's next door to the loading dock for the Winn-Dixie. It's the gas station towards Nashville. The trains that clang back there. No upper-end renovation. The purchaser or the renter of that would be interested in this location. The car wash itself, and this applies to all three of these houses, business model is suffering due to the proliferation of these self-serve car washes on Claiborne and Louisiana and other areas. The detail area is the highest margin aspect of the business. So what we're trying to do is to expand the retail area, the detail area. We met with Arna, we addressed their concerns, we've incorporated that into our plan. We would work with them further if there were additional requests. We do not want to be an obstruction to any of their wishes. We just want to try and operate the business the best we can. Those vacant houses have been, one was February of 21, the other two were May of 22. So while they've been vacant, the assessment went up on an average 80%. We have not been able to afford the insurance on them. It is a drag on the business. And I'm in the real estate business. I understand the housing shortage. I know it can be fixed, but it's just not feasible to do that right now.
We do have, thank you for your comments. We do have public comment on this application. We're only discussing
5514-16.
Can I say one more thing?
Sorry.
May I?
Yes, but keep it short because you've already exceeded 2 minutes.
Okay. I spoke to Tracy Moore at Rev Realtors, and her definition of poor condition is not livable. Her definition of fair is livable but really, really gross. And average is move in. None of these are livable, but yet they're described as fair. And I would disagree with that.
We can clarify that after in terms of what fair means on the staff report.
She just said it was not. Commonly accepted, that's all.
Yeah, I'm sorry, realtors' terms are not what we go by on this commission. So we can discuss that in a minute. I do want to go ahead and hear this, the public speaker who submitted a card as well, Tori Emmerling.
So Tori Emmerling, I'm a resident in the neighborhood, but I'm also a member of ARNA, which is Audubon Riverside Neighborhood Association, which is in the area. We obviously have an interest in preserving housing to the extent that we can to serve the interests and goals of our neighborhood organization. And we also, being in the city of New Orleans, like to see preservation of old structures. Mr. Conkey has met with us previously. He has tried to work with us, and we have been very receptive and welcoming to that, and we appreciate all of his efforts. The reason I'm here today, originally ARNA was going to remain neutral on this, but we saw the staff report saying that this could be rehabilitated. That was different than our understanding originally. We obviously do not have the expertise to weigh in on that position, and we appreciate the difficulty that the owners of this car wash are in. We support our local businesses. We're not quite sure where the happy medium is here. We don't want to lose housing stock that has a viable means of being preserved and used. But by the same vantage point, if it's not capable of being brought back into, you know, use, we also want to support the local business. So we did, in the interest of trying to meet with the owners, discuss some of the things that we would want to address to the extent that those homes were demolished, which includes something about addressing the streetscape and things of that nature. Again, if this building and the others can truly be preserved, ARNA is in support of that wholeheartedly. And that's why we're here, is because we saw the staff report saying that it could. But I think, again, this is just a tension between the owner and the staff on what is the actual reality of the situation. And that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for your comments. And just for clarification, you did mark that you were against.
Yeah, that's right, because we read the staff report that said that they could be rehabilitated. We came in with the understanding originally that they couldn't be. So that's where the tension is here. I've met with Mr. Conkey, who then said, you know, it's not economically feasible. I don't know how it plays out within these, you know, commission meetings about what you consider and what you don't. Obviously, we'd want it preserved, and we would love to have families or single residents in these different homes if they can be brought back into the market. But at the same time, we want a practical reality and a discussion about whether that's real, you know, because we also don't want abandoned property that sits vacant in our neighborhood either.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any additional public comment on this application? Please state your name and address for the record.
Susan Johnson, 2822 LePage Street, Historic New Orleans Neighborhoods, LLC. I just want to register my support of the Neighborhood Association's position in this matter. ARNA. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? No additional public comment. Staff, I'm going to
ask some questions.
Yes. Commissioner Green.
So you mentioned something about they had been, I guess, vacant since 2021 or 2022.
Different times between
Correct.
Those 2 years.
But prior to that, were they rented out?
To workers at the car wash.
Okay, but they were rented out.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the reason that there wasn't a renter after they became vacant?
They needed a significant investment, and it wasn't feasible. They didn't want to live there under those conditions. So it just wasn't feasible to fix those up to make it livable for them.
Okay, and so are you the owner of these
properties? I am not.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what you were.
I was a developer of the car wash. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer financially involved. Mm-hmm. They've hired me to pursue this.
Okay, so you don't own the buildings?
I do not.
Got it.
Is the car wash the owner of these buildings?
Yes.
So they purchased them when?
10+ years ago.
So the condition of the building then is a result of the ownership of the past 10 years.
And the condition of when they purchased it. They were in poor shape, hadn't been fixed for a very, very long time. I mean, you can look at the fixtures in there. Nothing has changed from the original construction. 3 different owners, one lady died. Then the last, 1416 was the last acquisition, I believe.
I think it's important to express the fact that this commission is charged with the preservation of historic architecture. It isn't charged with determining the economic viability of a piece of property in the market. Particularly, I think it's problematic that this is a current owner that has been responsible for these buildings for a number of years and sort of created the situation that they're in now. And from the staff's perspective, I think, you know, and I think the commission talks about this frequently, rewarding, I know exactly
okay, let's say it's Commissioner Green, who loves to talk about this.
Rewarding, you know, applicant for bad behavior so that they can raise the buildings to further, you know, economic. And I'm not trying to disparage the business model. I'm just saying that is at odds, in my opinion, in the staff's opinion, I believe, with the charge of this commission.
Well, and that's not our purpose to consider economic feasibility. It's nothing personal against
I'm fully aware of that.
But like, that's just not, that doesn't matter to us.
That's why I say it's possible to do this work.
Right.
But it's not feasible to do it.
Well, that's 100% arguable when you say something like that. It might not be viable for someone to come in, buy this, renovate it to the point where it would sell as a high-end house. But it certainly is probably viable to stabilize the structure and either continue and rent it out or hold on to the structure until maybe it is viable to do so. So the notion that this is not viable is completely off the table.
But again, that's not at the that's not what this commission is here to discuss.
Exactly.
Again, that is something that council and others.
And I would say, like, I'm really familiar with this area, and I know directly across the street, the homes. I think one might be commercial. I could be wrong about that, but I know there's several of residential homes are in excellent condition and look amazing, and obviously are. Well, they're right there. You just sun it around.
The beautiful Center Hall Cottage across the street
right.
was fixed up for a commercial enterprise. It was vacant for over a year, and they finally, it's Main Squeeze corporate headquarters now.
Yeah, so my point is, like, in that area, things that are fixed up and things that are maintained are rented out or are sold.
But it was vacant for over a year trying to find a tenant, and I know the owner. It's not a good investment.
I mean, again, I think, I'll just say this, I think this commission, we review applications and we really do look at our guidelines we have at the floor. So I'm just gonna, but we do look at all applications, we look at a lot of applications where there's requests for demolition, and we are consistent in terms of what this commission looks at, how we review it. I think in terms of this one, it is really unfortunate that the owners have had these properties for long enough that they could have done something else with them. It is not as though these properties were purchased recently and then are being, you know, taken on and there's something else that's at request there. But regardless, the way that we review these, we look at our staff report, our inspectors who go through the buildings, and if our staff tell us that these buildings can be rehabilitated, we do review that and look at that closely. But it does seem very consistent with other applications we've seen. Again, we do not evaluate the viability of the proposals, economic, all the other items that are on the table that are being used as part of the discussion here. We simply look at the building as, can it be rehabilitated? And the answer in this case is from the staff is that yes, that can happen. So, Commissioner Russell, yes.
I guess another option, is it even on the table? Could these houses be moved somewhere else?
Yes, but I don't, they're not structurally sound, I don't believe. They have components that certainly could be salvaged.
Did the staff look at maybe trying to move the houses to another location?
We have not had great luck with relocation of houses as a viable alternative.
There's a house that from 2019 that still hasn't been moved off of Chopped Tools.
Well, Commissioner Bressler, we have looked at applications where we have approved relocating, and often they are not relocated successfully, which then they end up back in front of us. Requesting retention for demolition. So again, an applicant has to really want to do that because that is also an additional expense.
Well, this is a tough call because we're trying to maintain housing, but we also don't want blighted housing, empty housing. So
we don't have jurisdiction over
you. We don't have. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that this is a tough decision. I think this is very consistent with other applications we've seen. And the idea that three are in front of us today with all the staff recommendation for denial seems very clear cut from previous applications we've seen as well.
But again, it doesn't take into account the likelihood that something good will happen.
But I will say this applicant also had someone else who was a renter here a year ago and then has left it since 21-22 in in a state of decay?
And, like, if you look through the pictures, like, a lot of it is literally, like, garbage. Like, there's, like, an empty detergent bottle and, you know, some literally bags of garbage. And to me, that's 100% like owner neglect.
What I'll say is, I mean, I share your concern because I know what's going to happen here. We're going to likely vote to not allow them, and then basically they will continue to neglect these buildings, and someday they're going to be probably torn down anyway. But that's not our job. Our job is to look at these buildings and decide should they be torn down today. And in my opinion, and given the fact this is uptown, we're basically saying the same thing, we're just going to do that we deny the ability for these people to take this property. So, don't think it's a good idea. I live three blocks away. I look at this building generally four times a day, or four times a week. I literally stopped there last week before I even saw this on the agenda, and pulled over, looked at the buildings, and said, I really wish that somebody would do something. Sides tearing down.
But is it also that it's on three sides? Is the car wash? I mean, it's, it just seems like the location.
It's been on three sides for years, and you know.
But I think again, I mean, if you look at properties across the city that have neighbors of commercial use, non-commercial use throughout. Again, I mean, the guidelines. This commission is here to uphold. I mean, to preserve the historic fabric, and I think what the staff report states. And all three of these is very clear. And I do think the inspection reports are very clear in terms of what's in them. And I understand that there's a temptation, especially when an applicant brings forth a lot of economic, you know, other concerns that you have for the property. But I that is this we review based on the guidelines, based on what we, you know, review. And I hope that this commission can be consistent in that.
I think the comment about what's across the street is really valuable too, because you know right now there's a residential quality to the neighborhood, to this block, and it's very you know appropriate to our city, our district, and then when these are removed and this becomes a large commercial paved area, that completely destroys that cohesiveness of this block.
May I respond to that?
Can I just add one quick thing? Frankly, that area too, like if they have a walkable grocery store, walkable bank, you know, walkable convenience store, so it's not only is it part of that, that to me is a desirable aspect of it, that there is a walkable area to get to amenities. So I would hate to see houses go.
And Central Hall Cottage, is that entire site is concrete paved. There's no no landscaping of any kind. But addressing that.
It's quite landscaped.
No, that's not the same property. Daryl Reginelli's building, Center Hall Cottage next to the bar, is the whole site is paved.
That's the house.
That's not the one I'm talking about.
There's the bar.
Let's go to the right.
It's surrounded by concrete, but it's beautifully landscaped.
It's a beautiful
but
house.
The front is landscaped.
Or can you rotate put it behind, to the right
like,
side?
Opposite.
Both sides. Yeah, in the front of the house. I'm talking about the site. The rest of the site. It's all paved.
Yep,
and what we did in response to Arna was to provide a landscaping barrier so you didn't see any concrete from the street. Trying to address their concerns. I understand that you all do not consider the economics of all this, and it's always been the case, and I wasn't expecting anything else, but I just wanted to present this because it is a fact. That it is possible to do this. You've seen buildings we've done much worse than this. And it is possible to do it, but it's just, I don't think it's going to be able to happen. So.
Okay,
what was the reason that you stopped putting your employees within it?
I'm sorry?
I'm not the employees that you were of the car.
They didn't want to live there.
All of them? None of them?
Yeah, that's why it happened at different times. Didn't want to live in those conditions, and it cost too much to fix them.
Okay. Commissioners, we have two more applications after this with the same.
Yeah, please consolidate this. It's from me.
So, I feel like we've heard both applicants thoroughly public comment as well as commissioners. This is an Uptown partial, Commissioner Lupin.
Yeah, I mean, I've stated my motion, I'll restate my motion of denial of the application. I will say one other thing, and you know, this is a possibility. I'm not saying that I would go for this at this time, but in the past, we've addressed multiple buildings that somebody wanted to tear down, and a compromise has possibly been to leave up part of it. And I only say that because you know, you said something about paving and parking and various other things. So when you come back and when you keep arguing, think about that. But the motion's on the floor, and I don't think she's accepting any more discussion.
There's one more relevant response to that.
We have a motion on the floor.
We can talk afterwards or whatever. But okay. The motion's on the floor. That's relevant.
I will certainly second that motion.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Okay, so can we do a roll call vote? In favor, okay, so I'll go through. Jenny West is the chair, so we'll vote. Jason King, you're in favor of the motion.
Correct.
Tim Lupin.
In favor.
Ross Carson.
In favor.
Annie Clark.
In favor.
Lee Bressler.
I'm against.
Greg Hackenberg.
I'm in favor.
Jennifer Green.
In favor.
Ann Redd.
Favor.
So that is 7-1, the motion passes.
Thank you. Moving forward, item G, 5518-20 Chocotula Street, with the applicant present.
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the
record. Doug Conkey, 8518 Oak Street.
Thank you.
This is an application for the demolition of a contributing rated one-story, two-family residential building to grade. I'm just going to skip to the staff recommendations. Vacant one-story residential building rests on a masonry pier foundation. The exterior wall structure consists of barge boards nailed to heavy timber sills and covered in wood weather boards, as noted from the interior and exterior of the building. The weather boards at the side and rear of the building are covered in vinyl. The roof is comprised of asphalt shingles with a gable hip roof at the front of the building with a porch overhang. The rear of the building has a small shed roof that meets at the rear wall below the gable. The roof shingles were mostly in good condition and create a watertight envelope. The exterior walls were not racked and the building was plumb and level. Although the framing was concealed by vinyl siding and interior finishes, it is assumed that the framing is in good condition based on the plumbness of the structure and the loads that are being completely endured. The crawl space was well ventilated and dry. The floor joists were visible, were in good condition. The masonry piers appeared plumb and sills were plumb and bearing loads. The interior spaces were mostly dry. Damage from wood destroying insects was visible on some of the wood flooring and with the trim being severely damaged. The lumber used for the trim is likely of poorer quality than the framing material, which might explain the extent of the damage. The walls were covered in varied finishing materials. The ceilings were dropped in some locations with no visible access to the attic of the building. Peeling paint and water stains were noted on the walls and ceilings with large deposits of wood-destroying insect grass at those locations. The staff recommendation is, again, denial of the demolition to grade.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Just don't want to respond to what Mr. Lupin said. You notice the car wash is built up almost 4 feet off the ground in the back. It's because it's covered in asbestos, so all the concrete encapsulates it. Yeah. So to save the front facade and use the back would just not be practical. We don't allow the cars to leave the site for insurance purposes, so it just couldn't work.
I do have a speaker's card. Tori Kimmerling, registering against.
Against, again. I just reiterate again that, you know, our understanding originally was that these locations were beyond rehabilitation. We obviously support and defer to the staff because it is not, we're not in the business of making those determinations for ARNA. We support maintaining residential housing, particularly of historic significance. Again, we do have concern about having vacancy and blight, so there is a tension there, but you know, we hope there's some solution one day where all of these different agencies can kind of come together and find these solutions together, where you maintain it and also promote the use within the neighborhood so it doesn't create bigger problems. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any additional public comment on this application? No additional public comment, commissioners?
I would just echo what you said previously in that, to me, and especially like scrolling through this, like there's a fake Christmas tree and Christmas decorations. Like this to me is evidence of owner neglect. And as we have noted earlier, like that is probably one of the things that really gets me on this commission is an owner who neglects their property and then comes to us and asks us if they can tear it down. And I mean, some of this is literally garbage that needs to be cleaned up or wings from flying termites that need to be swept up. You know, it's not, but it's clear, like if they're a landlord and have tenants there, their toilet shouldn't be flipped over on its side. To me, at some point that becomes a code enforcement issue. I don't know if they were letting their employees live there for free or what the situation was, but a lot of this to me looks like it would be a code enforcement issue. But again, I can't agree with tearing down a historic property when it's the condition of it is due to an owner's neglect.
I would just note that the properties were forwarded about 6 months ago to code enforcement.
Okay.
Were they?
I'm not aware.
Thank you. Is there any additional comments from the commissioners?
What do we expect code enforcement to do?
What code enforcement does?
Just find the owners.
They go through their process for citing the owners, holding hearings, possibly subject to fines. A lot of people do remediate their buildings and remediate their blight in response to code enforcement efforts. So that would be the hope. Or they sell them to people who live.
Thank you. Any additional comments on this application? Seeing as there's no additional comments, Commissioner Lupin?
Move to deny the application to demolish this property.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
I will second.
Commissioner King seconds. All those in favor? Vote unanimous. Is that correct? Thank you. On to the next one, item F, 5524 Chapatula Street. Is the applicant present?
Doug Conkey, 518 Oak Street.
Thank you. Staff?
This is an application for the demolition of a contributing rated one-story, two-family residential building to grade. The wood frame superstructure rests on masonry chain wall. The walls are clad in aluminum siding. However, there's likely wood siding under the aluminum, as evidenced by the exposure by the windows. The windows are aluminum with glass. Based on the trapezoidal shape of the building, it is likely barge board construction. The roofing material in the building is corrugated metal and is mostly competent. There are signs of leakage around the valley at each of the side double gables. The masonry chain wall was difficult to inspect because it is covered with aluminum siding low to the ground. Where visible, the sills were in excellent condition. In one location, a beam was used as a shim to shim floor joists. Leveling would be required to level and even out the floors. There were signs of roof failure causing saturation of the walls and flooring, but the building was predominantly dry. Some low areas were noted in the flooring, suggesting settlement over time. Additionally, drywall was cracked around the interior openings. The flooring was in good condition, and attic spaces were not available for inspection. As with the other two, staff recommends denial of this application.
Thank you. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
No, thank you.
Thank you. I do have a speaker's card for this application. Corey Emmerling, for against. Do you wish to address the commission?
Yes, please. We'll just make a record again to the extent these are held in separate records. That ARNA again supports preservation and promotes residential uses, particularly where zoned as such and used as such. Again, we were under the impression that these were beyond rehabilitation, but we are not we don't have the expertise to make that determination. We understand that staff has found them to be capable of rehabilitation. And again, to the extent I'm just speaking to the sky, I hope that someday all the agencies can sort of coalesce so that these sort of solutions can occur at one time.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any additional public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no additional public comment, commissioners, any any further comment on this application or additional comments for the record?
And I can reiterate my comments earlier that to me this is a classic example of owner neglect, and I can't support having an owner neglect a building for 10 years and then come and ask us to tear it down. Again, if you look at the issue with this building, a lot of the things are just merely garbage, or this one frankly doesn't have as much garbage around it as the other ones, but there's one particular photo that was submitted where you can see out the front window and see across the street to the lovely properties sitting right across the street that are in Commerce. So to the extent that someone is concerned about that, it seems that that area is ripe for something if somebody was willing to put the money into these and put them back in Commerce.
Thank you, Commissioner Green. Any additional comments from commissioners? Commissioner Bressler?
I'd be receptive to something along the lines of what Commissioner Lupin suggested, was dealing with the three houses and maybe keeping some of them and not keeping some of them, or somehow developing it in conjunction with each other, maybe making it my property and making something work. I don't know what you had in mind, but to me that would be kind of intriguing to see if you could save some of the housing but would make it more economical so that it's back in public Commerce.
May I respond?
Yes.
As part of this process, we've had to apply for resubdivision, so all five individual parcels are being resubdivided into one.
Well, the HDLC reviews those resubdivisions, so we would likely be opposed to them.
I just wanted to let you know what's going on, that's all.
But I think that the previous application, you did note that it wasn't...
I'm fully aware that this is not going to be supported. So.
Can I ask just staff a quick question? Looking online, because I wanted to see if there were violations in the past on this, which I didn't see it on One Stop. But I did see that in 2012 there was an NCDC application for demolition of these that was rejected. And looking at these properties, did y'all look at any notes or any discussion about that?
The correspondence from the NCDC from 2012?
Yeah.
I'm not certain that, Jesse, you didn't look into that for a case or anything.
I did not, no. No, I did not.
I mean, we're making a decision today, but the same decision, it seems, was also made 11 years ago. And so I'm just curious.
Yeah, we're not interested.
What the thinking was then?
Was it the same owner at that point? Is that?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
I was with the development, which was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I was unaware of that.
Hey.
And then, like I said, those houses were owned by three different individuals. Was that done by the car wash, or was that done by one of the individuals?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but anyway, I mean, there was an attempt made 11 years ago to tear these down, and it failed then. So.
All three?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, I literally looked at it with
Dirk's.
Yeah. I'd like to move to deny the demolition of this building.
Thank you, Commissioner Lupin. Seconded by?
Happy to second again.
All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously on this application. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everyone for the discussion on this, but thank you so much for being here. I should also read, I'm sorry, your applications have all been denied by HDLC as well, and you have 10 validation dates to the city council already if you wish to do so, per all three of those applications.
Can the staff give them that?
Yes, the staff can provide that.
Sorry, I was like, I know this.
I was like, wait a second,
I'm missing a line.
And the staff can furnish you the details of the appeals process following this meeting.
That's the line.
Thank you, I got it. I was like, hold on, I usually read it, so. Thank you. I missed it quickly, like right in my remembering that. Okay, moving forward, old business retention applications, item A, 118 Barrett Street. Is the applicant present?
Wait, which one? I'm sorry.
We're at 118 Barrett Street under old business retention applications. Thank you. I was like, wait, this feels too light.
How's it going?
Hello. Welcome. Please take a seat and state your name and address for the record. You can pull up an additional chair as well.
Take a seat right there.
Welcome.
How's it going? I'm Dalton Vijay with Greenlight Solar out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Thank you.
I'm Sophie Gallo, 118 Brent Street.
Thank you.
I'm Benjamin Ross with Greenlight Solar.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
Yes, ma'am.
This is an application for retention of installation of highly visible roof-mounted solar equipment. The right side roof slope of 3-3 rated one-story single-family residential building at Full Control Eldridge Point. This is basically all different because they submitted plans right before the meeting showing that they were intending to reinstall the solar at the left side elevation, which would be approved at the staff level. So the retention portion is no longer really on the table. So they're already coming to the meeting. So
are those the ones we have as current drawings?
Yes, that's okay. Under the current drawings. And so the only real proviso to fit the guidelines there is something that I can do at staff level would be that they have to be set back at least 10 feet from the front wall of the building, which I think that you were able to confirm.
Yes, so, from the road, the west side?
From the front of the building.
Yeah.
10 feet back from the front of the building.
Okay, from the front of the house, the structure itself, 10
yeah,
feet?
The front wall.
Okay.
So
yes, sir, we can move
really nothing.
Yeah. Wonderful. So can we remove this item from the agenda since it's a staff?
We have not removed all the solar panels, so
forgive me for a second. I'm talking to the staff to see what procedures
we
need to do.
See if we can remove it from, remove from the agenda. Issue from the agenda.
Sorry.
Can we remove it at the staff level?
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for being here. Thank you for working with the staff. Is there any public comment on this application? There's no public comments. Commissioners, can we get a motion to remove this from the agenda? Commissioner Green?
I think we need to explain what's going on.
Okay, so I would make a motion to remove it from the agenda because it's something that can be decided at the staff level. Based on the drawings that were just submitted today.
Yes.
Okay.
So the applicant
and the staff has indicated that it will be what you suggested it would be approvable.
Yes.
Are you following what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I'm following. I was going to kind of go through how we got to this site because I just don't want this to happen again. And I recognize the historical district. I looked up y'all's website. And me being from Louisiana, I want to make sure we comply with y'all's policies and regulations. And I respect that as being a resident of the home state. So,
and we appreciate Greenlight Solar working with the staff. And so we appreciate that. And hopefully in future applications as well, you'll work with staff. So
yes. I did have one question.
Well, I think we need to finish this.
Can we finish the motion?
Okay. Yeah. All right. 10-4.
One second. Yeah.
I think I made a motion. I don't know if anyone seconded it.
Yes. Seconded by Commissioner King. I guess I can reopen the comment.
We had submitted the permit for this project July 5th, 2023. The permit was approved August 7th and the electrical as well. And then we got the violation in September, September 12th to be exact. I was just looking into something because we have another project right down the road in the historical district. And I was like, whoa, guys, we're already doing a reviewing on what's going on over here. Did we get approval for the HDLC over here as well? And they said yes, and that it is actually just kind of already a part of the permitting process when you're requesting to do solar in there. So my question was, when the permit got approved by the city of New Orleans, how come that y'all didn't, I wonder why y'all weren't
so
notified or where that communication was dropped.
I think the permit was under
permit approved,
not
you
permit
never received,
issued.
You never received
it. Okay, so they never received it, green light?
Yeah, so unless you have a building permit printed out that says building permit, City of New Orleans, safety and permits, the permit approved process is for them to know that their side of the permit is approved, but until HDLC approves it, they're not going to issue the building permit.
And can I further explain too, because this is generally my opening speech that we didn't get to do because we were moved from city council chambers to 7th floor. But essentially, there's two components. There's a building permit and a certificate of appropriateness, a CMA, and so if you don't receive both, that you're not actually approved. So this often does happen when contractors don't understand that you need all of that in place with permits posted prior to work being installed.
And we also recognize that that permit approved level is confusing, so you're not alone in this. And we have a conversation with safety and permits a lot that they need to not email the applicant and say that you have reached permit approved, because that's very confusing.
Right.
So we get it. And so what we've tried to tell them, that's internal. Permit approved needs to be, that's a level that we know that safety and permits is ready to go as soon as we are, but the applicant shouldn't be getting that information because it's confusing.
Yes, sir.
So we get it. You're not alone. So.
But having said that, there's also more information in that email that says permit approved.
Yes, yes.
You need to also do A, B, and C.
Right.
So it doesn't just say go forth and, you know, proceed. It lists other steps that need to be taken so that the permit can be issued. So contractors need to understand and read all the information that they're getting from the City of New Orleans.
And for owners as well as contractors, just so you're aware, the contractor has to have, you as the owner need to post the building permit in the window as well as the C of A. And if any work changes on the C of A, it has to go back for review from the staff. So if that work is not on that C of A, you can't, it's not approved to be done. And that's generally what, from what I tell professionally, is that, you know, you've got to have those two permits posted in the window. If you don't have those and you're doing work, you're already in violation. Right, so.
10-4. Is there Mr. Chase here? Is that you, Chase? All right, so I think we were the ones emailing. Okay.
So with this, so I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the comments regarding confusion around permitting. You have a motion on the floor in a second. I just want to go ahead and call all those in favor.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries unanimously. We have made a motion to remove this application item from the agenda because it can be reviewed by staff. So just continue to work with the staff to get this item closed out, and we appreciate you being here.
Yes, ma'am.
You do. Thank you all very much for your time.
In the future, any project you're working on, see if it's in a historic district and get with the staff, even if it's overkill, even if you think you've been approved by other agencies, because every meeting we've got some type of solar project on here because of just not thinking about that. So
yes, sir.
Not that we don't want to have you guys back, but you'll be back if you don't double check everything before you
Exactly. That's kind of my whole point. Is I was even looking for is like maybe there's a map where we can kind of see the outlining areas
it's
of the
website.
Okay. Awesome.
Chase will help you out.
Yeah, we want to take the lead on this for all solar companies, especially in New Orleans. So I'll get what you do need. I have the new updated plans.
No, I have them.
All right.
Thank you
all.
Have a
great day.
Y'all
did the same.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Summarizer.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Bye.
All right, new business retention applications. We are very close to the end, everyone, just as a heads up. So, item A, 541 Bermuda Street was removed from the agenda.
Just take a second.
Item B, 1430 Royal Street was removed from the agenda. Item C, 2422 Burgundy Street, is the applicant present?
That's me.
Wonderful. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is William Dwyer. My address is 2422 Burgundy Street, 70117.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
All right.
This is an application for the retention of installation of inappropriate wood grain hardy weatherboards at the right side of a contributing rated one-story single-family residential building without a C of A and full control Marini. The owner initially applied to replace some of the existing deteriorated windows along the right side of the building. As part of this review, staff noted that it appeared that the previously existing wood weatherboards were removed and replaced with inappropriate wood grain hardy sometime between April 2015 and now without a C of A issued. Wood grain hardy does not meet the HDLC guidelines because the material does not sufficiently emulate the appearance of sanded and painted weatherboards or weatherboards with multiple layers of paint. Because this work is now completed and because the siding is only limitedly visible from the public right of way and all other building elevations and trim remain as wood, staff has no objection to the request for retention. If approval is granted, however, staff recommends a proviso that if the weatherboards require replacement in the future, this must be done with new wood or smooth finish hardy weatherboards only, so this does not become a permitted nonconformity.
Thank you. So the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
Yeah, I just got the property. I wasn't the person that did it. So, and you know, I can tell you that the person who did it, the previous owner, had owned the property since 1968. And she's an 81-year-old woman who lives in Plano, Texas now because of Katrina. Having gone through a bunch of hurricanes, she just, that was the last straw. And so she relied on a long-term tenant to take care of repairs after Katrina. And they got it done somehow, and she paid for it, but, you know.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Is there any additional public comment on this application? Seeing as there's no additional public comment, staff has no objection with the proviso that once the RV is replaced in the future, it's smooth to meet our guidelines. This is in the Marini, which is my district. I cannot make a motion on this application. Is there another commissioner? Mr. Hackenberg?
Yeah, I mean, this is something in the past that we have approved. We're not setting any sort of precedent. I will make a motion to allow the retention with the proviso that if it ever replaces, replace it smoothly.
Thank you, Commissioner Hackenberg. Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner Clark, seconds. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
At some point, I'm going to reach out to you.
All right. One last one. Item D is 514 Flood Street. This item has been removed from the agenda. That concludes all of items. Moving forward. Ratification of architectural review committee and staff action since Wednesday, November 1st, 2023 meeting. Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
Commissioner Bressler? Seconded by Commissioner King. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries unanimously. HTLC reports and communication.
Okay, I have a report regarding solar panels.
Thank you.
Since last month's meeting, the staff has been analyzing permitting data, researching solar panel design guidelines from cities across the United States, analyzing data, and performing stakeholder outreach. The first portion of research in response to the commission's request for a review of the design guidelines for solar panels, staff scrubbed the data to understand the current application approval rate. Between November 1st, 2022 and November 1st of 2023, the HTLC issued 969 total certificates of appropriateness. Of these, 50 were for the installation of solar panels. 44 of the 50 permits, or 88%, were issued at the staff level, meaning over-the-counter without commission review. The other six were forwarded to the commission, and of those six, only one was denied, meaning that the HTLC approves 98% of the applications it is receiving. However, this lens does not include applications that are never made as a result of the design guidelines that are currently in place, cases where revisions are requested and we do not hear back, or other barriers to entry. The next portion of our work was stakeholder outreach. Staff reached out to Posigen, Solar Alternatives, and South Coast Solar. Those are the three main residential installers operating in New Orleans. Thus far, we've met with a representative from South Coast Solar and Solar Alternatives. We did not hear back yet from the representative from Posigen. They've given us great feedback regarding the existing design guidelines, the proposed changes, and questions regarding ours, i.e. the staff's and the commission's interpretation and application of the design guidelines as they exist currently. Robert Suggs of South Coast Solar is coming to City Hall tomorrow to present to the staff to review common issues in adhering to the current guidelines, permitting, and installation. Next steps. The staff will continue to conduct outreach with industry stakeholders. Upon completion of that effort, the staff will draft proposed changes to the design guidelines and schedule a subcommittee meeting. The commissioners that have thus far expressed their interest in serving on the subcommittee are Ross Carson and Annie Cambria. Please email me if you would also like to volunteer for the subcommittee and be involved in the process at that level. That's where
Thank
we are.
You. Thank you for that. We appreciate just we all, I think this commission really values sustainability and solar panels and the work on that, and agree that revisiting and looking at this makes sense in this time, especially because there are some incentives out there to additionally add solar panels to other properties. So we appreciate that, and I would like to serve on that as well, but so if you will write me down, but if there's anyone else who's interested, please let us know.
I think the main question that's going to be up for discussion is whether or not to allow them on corner properties, and that'll be the debate, I think,
on that for a while where you land.
Thank you.
I also wanted to let the commission know, I usually bring the budget to the commission in December, and I have not had a chance to really analyze where we've landed, so I will discuss that with you guys in January.
Thank you. Any additional communication or reports? No, but that meeting adjourns. See everyone in 2024. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Everybody. Happy holidays. Yeah.